Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
I want to read a brief testimony called The Persistence of One Child. I don't know who wrote this, never could find out, but it sure is a brief and powerful testimony about the perseverance of one little child. I think you'll find it precious, as thousands of others have. This is a true story. Listen to this. Every Sunday afternoon, after the morning service at their church, the pastor and his 11-year-old son would go out into their town and hand out gospel tracts. This particular Sunday afternoon, as it came time for the pastor and his son to go to the streets with their tracts, it was very cold outside, as well as pouring down rain. The boy bundled up in his warmest and driest clothes and said, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His pastor dad says, "Ready for what?" The boy answered, "Dad, it's time we gather our tracts together and go out." Dad responded with, "Son, it's very cold outside and it's pouring down rain." The boy gives his dad a surprised look, asking, "But Dad, aren't people still going to hell even though it's raining?" Dad answers, "Son, I am not going out in this weather." Despondently, the boy asked, "Dad, can I go, please?" His father hesitated for a moment, then said, "Son, you can go. Here's the tracts. Be careful, son." "Thanks, Dad," the boy responded. And with that, he was off and out into the rain. This 11-year-old boy walked the streets of the town, going door to door and handing everybody he met in the street a gospel tract. After 2 hours of walking in the rain, he was soaking, bone-chilled wet, and down to his very last tract. He stopped on a corner and looked for someone to hand the tract to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned toward the first home he saw, started up the sidewalk to the front door, and rang the doorbell. He rang the bell, but nobody answered. He rang it again and again, but still no one answered. He waited, but still no answer. Finally, this 11-year-old trooper turned to leave, but something stopped him. Again, he turned to the door and rang the bell and knocked loudly on the door with his fist. He waited, something holding him there on the front porch. He rang again, and this time the door slowly opened. Standing in the doorway was a very sad-looking elderly woman. She softly asked, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a smile that lit up her world, this little boy said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry I disturbed you, but I just want to tell you that Jesus really does love you, and I came to give you my very last gospel tract, which will tell you all about Jesus and His great love." With that, he handed her his last gospel tract and turned to leave. She called to him as he departed, "Thank you, son, and God bless you." Well, the following Sunday morning in church, Pastor Dad was in the pulpit, and as the service began, he asked, "Does anyone have a testimony or want to say anything?" Slowly, in the back row of the church, an elderly lady stood to her feet. As she began to speak, a look of glorious radiance came from her face as she said, "None of you in this church know me. I've never been here before. You see, before last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband had passed on some time ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday, being a particularly cold and rainy day, it was even more so in my heart as I came to the end of the line where I no longer had any hope or will to live. So I took a rope in a chair and ascended to the stairway into the attic of my home. I fastened the rope securely to a rafter in the roof and then stood on the chair and fastened the other end of the rope around my neck. Standing on that chair, so lonely and brokenhearted, I was about to leap off when suddenly the loud ringing of my doorbell downstairs startled me. I thought, I'll wait a minute and whoever it is will go away. I waited and waited, but the ringing doorbell seemed to get louder and more insistent. And then the person ringing also started knocking loudly. I thought to myself, who on earth could this be? Nobody ever rings my bell or comes to see me. I loosened the rope from my neck and started for the front door. All the while, the bell rang louder and louder. When I opened the door and looked, I could hardly believe my eyes. For there was on my front porch was the most radiant and angelic little boy I'd ever seen in my life. His smile, oh, I could never describe it to you. And the words that came from his mouth caused my heart that had long been dead to leap to life. Then he gave me this gospel tract that I now hold in my hand. As the little angel disappeared back out into the cold and rain, I closed my door and read slowly every word of that gospel tract. Then I went up to my attic to get my rope and chair. I wouldn't be needing them anymore. You see, I am now happy child of the King, and since the address of your church was on the back of that gospel tract, I have come here to personally thank you, to say thank you to God's little angel, who came just in the nick of time, by so doing spared my soul from eternity in hell. There were now no dry eyes in the church, and as shouts of praise and honor to the King resounded off the very rafters of the building, Pastor Dad ascended from the pulpit to the front pew where the little angel was seated. He took him in his arms and sobbed uncontrollably. Probably no church has had more of a glorious moment, and probably this universe has never seen a papa that was more filled with love and honor for his son, except for one. This father also allowed his son to go out into a cold and dark world. He received his son back with joy unspeakable, and as all heaven shouted praises and honor to the King, the Father sat his beloved son on a throne far above all principality and power, every name that is named. There may be someone reading this who is also going through a dark, cold, lonely time in your soul. You may be a Christian, but we are not without problems, or you may not yet know the King. Whatever the case and whatever the problem or situation you find yourself in, and no matter how dark it may seem, I want you to know that I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you. I don't know about you, that really gets me. That little child refused to be deterred from his mission that day. Aren't you glad Jesus refused to be deterred from his mission? With all of hell against him, he came into this cold, dark, sinful, lonely world and died on a cross high atop Calvary's hill, was buried, and 3 days later the Father raised him from the dead. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, because no man qualified to be the Redeemer. When God looked to and fro in the whole earth, he told us that no one was to be found that could intercede for mankind. No one on earth, that is. Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. There was none to be found until in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4-5, God sent forth his Son. But when the fullness of time was come, the scripture says, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Obviously, this little boy knew the King and the Holy Ghost. He was praising God with the help of the Holy Spirit in his life, that 11-year-old boy. And that day, he was moved upon by the Spirit to go out in that cold, rainy day when his daddy didn't even want to go and let him go all by himself. and to persistently knock on that lady's door. Don't you know that the little simple things in life that we might feel led to do might seem so very menial to us, but be so very eternally important to others? The scripture tells us in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews that there are times that we might be entertaining angels. Perhaps we're being tested. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares or without even knowing it. This little boy persisted. He was diligent. He was moved upon with compassion as Jesus, who was moved with compassion for the people because he saw that they had no shepherd. There's so many people around us that don't have a shepherd. They don't have the king, the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13:20. The scripture tells us at the end of Matthew 9, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We serve a good God, don't we? He went about just blessing people. In fact, Acts 3:26 tells us why God sent his son. He sent his son to bless you. The earth and everyone in it was under the curse of sin until Jesus came, the prophesied Messiah. Verse 36, Matthew 9, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion on the multitude, on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad and as sheep having no shepherd. Don't you know that in that true story we read earlier, that the great shepherd of the sheep was moved with compassion on that little lady, and he was able to get one of his children's attention enough to rescue her before she hung herself in that attic or from that roof rafter. Hallelujah. A little boy. Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. A little child is teachable and humble and listens to everything his mom and daddy says, constantly depending on them, especially little bitty children who always hold their arms up and say, Daddy, Mommy, pick me up. I think that's what Jesus was getting at when he uttered those words there in Matthew 18:3-4. They're recorded. Again, except ye be converted and become as little children. Not only be converted, but become as a little child. Let me ask you something, friend. Is God able to move upon your life? Or are you too busy for him to spend time with him so that he makes you pliable and sensitive to his voice? Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you taking time to hear his voice? Do you know that every time you read the Bible, you're hearing his voice? So Jesus is concerned, the great shepherd of the sheep, and has compassion on, well, both saved and unsaved souls who are unsaved, the groping in darkness. They have no light, and he wants to save them, and he wants to be moved with compassion through his body. And I might add that I think gospel tracts are one great way to communicate, a supplemental way, no doubt. We shouldn't limit our witnessing and communication of thy faith, Philemon 1:7-6, to gospel tract. If that's all you did, you'd be doing a whole lot. You know, in light of the fact that we're going to stand to give account to our Lord Jesus Christ, who commanded all who name his name to go out into all the world and preach or communicate the gospel, we should consider getting busy about the Father's business. If you need gospel tracts, there are many available through many good gospel ministries. We've got some really good ones at safeguardyoursoul.com. Feel free to request some. Love offerings help, because these tracts cost money to print, and there's no money that's better spent. The testimonies throughout the last several centuries since the invention of the printing press especially are absolutely phenomenal as to how many millions upon millions of souls have been saved by reading the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, on a little piece of paper we call gospel tracts. Hallelujah. We've been putting out and passing out gospel tracts since 1987 and put, I guess, a couple of million out there, and hopefully we'll be able to do a couple of million more at least before Jesus comes. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, Matthew 9:37, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And let me ask you, friend, are you one of those few laborers that are busy in the harvest field, sowing the seed of the Word of God, and when it's time, reaping a soul unto everlasting life? Apollos planted, Paul watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. And that's how you and I were saved and apprehended of the Lord. Someone introduced us to the gospel. It's amazing how many Christians I meet that testify that they were saved by reading the Word of God on a little piece of paper we call soul-winning gospel tracts. Isn't that amazing? God's word never returns void. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that it always accomplishes that for which he sends it. Now, you and I, we can't save ourselves, much less someone else, but we can certainly sow the incorruptible seed of the good news of the gospel. Again, the last two verses here in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus saith unto his disciples. Who was he speaking to? His disciples. And let me ask you something. Do you claim to be a disciple of Jesus? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? Well, what does that mean? Well, it proves something, that if we're following Christ, we're becoming fishers of men. If we're not fishers of men, we're not really following Christ. Hate to break that bad news to you, but it's better that we find out now before it's too late. If we think that we're following Christ because we go to church on Sunday morning or Saturday or whatever, then we are greatly deceived, beloved. Most of us have been deceived by the current leadership priesthood that has reduced being a Christian down to attending their little church services. And that's to their benefits, not the Lord's. They are stealing glory from Jesus Christ and ravaging his flock and disconnecting, intercepting it from what God's original purpose was. At the end of the Gospels, Jesus said things like this: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and teach all men all the things I've taught you. He didn't say go attend church services once or twice a week. I didn't say that was bad, unless it's misleading you to think that's an end in itself. That's not what it being a disciple of Jesus consists of. And whoever sold you on that notion is a hireling, whether that be me or anyone else. That's a deception. Beware. Be not deceived, friends. Be not deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not allow yourself to be led away with the error of the wicked. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Don't let any man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11, Jesus said. Take heed to your own soul, that you're in relationship, in an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, which will always give you his heart, if you really have one, which is moved with compassion upon those who don't yet know him. Verse 38 of Matthew 9, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray ye, and we pray right now, Lord, that you will send forth laborers into your harvest, even those who bear the precious seed of thy word, Lord, casting it far and wide, and therefore coming back with rejoicing to you, having their sheaves or their harvest full because they sowed the seed. Now let me ask you something. Is there a possibility of producing fruit unless you sow the seed? The answer to that is no, with an exclamation point. There can be no harvest, there can be no fruit, if we don't sow the seed of the Word of God. Jesus said the seed is the Word of God. Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. The Apostle Peter called it the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, by which souls are born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Let me ask you something, and that's a simple question. Do you have beautiful feet? Do you have beautiful feet according to the Bible? Do you have beautiful feet? First of all, what does that mean? Well, are your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are you prepared to give an answer to every man that asketh you of reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and godly fear? 1 Peter 3:15. The scripture tells us to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. Christians are the only ones that have real hope. Their light, the light of Christ, shines in their life. And men see these good works and this joy and this love and this beaming radiance, like that older lady in the story we read earlier saw in that little boy's beautiful face as he shone like an angel standing at her front door just in a nick of time. You know, one of the testimonies we've received over the years, and there's been many, because when you sow seed, some of it's going to come back to you, give you a little taste of it, you know, along the way. And about a year and a half ago, I had a fellow send me an email. Somehow he found me. I don't even know how the guy remembered my name. He said, do you remember in North Alabama at a certain corner store or something in gas station that you gave me a tract and preached the gospel to me? I still don't remember who the guy is. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not want to hear what you had to say when you told me that gospel. I was convicted and I was in darkness and I didn't want to hear it. He said, but man, I wanted to encourage you to keep teaching and preaching the word of God because it resulted in me getting saved. I witnessed to him and gave him a tract. It's real simple. All you got to do is tell people Jesus loves them and he proved it by dying for their sins. Or tell them a scripture like Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Or ask them where would they go if they die tonight. Ask them if they think they're a good person, they're good enough to go to heaven. And then give them some of the Ten Commandments. Sow the seed of the Word of God. Do you have beautiful feet? Isaiah 52:7 in the glorious, beautiful King James Bible. The Bible says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Hallelujah. Beautiful feet. Paul repeated that verse in Romans 10. The beautiful feet are those who have beautiful feet are those who spread the good news, those that share and communicate the good news of the good tidings of Jesus Christ, who came to bless you. Jesus came to bless you. He did not come to destroy men, but to save them. Man is already condemned and guilty before God in his sin, and he needs to know that, as well as there came a Savior who died and bled on the cross so that we could be saved. Romans 10:15, the Apostle Paul is taking from Isaiah the prophet, and he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, now he's talking about here that there are in the missions of the Lord, which we are to be integrally engaged in, and if we're not, we're not fulfilling a New Testament purpose, period. If you go to a church that's not engaged in declaring the Word of God unapologetically, just like it's written, then you are contributing to the apostasy of many who claim to be Christians but are being swept away in a tidal wave of deception in this last hour, where many false prophets have gone out and are going out and are established and are leading many astray into eternal damnation, thinking all the while that they're saved. How shall they preach except they be sent? There are those who preach and those that send. Every Christian is to be personally and practically involved in praying for the laborers and funding them and going themselves. They're goers and senders, Paul is talking about here. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The gospel is a good thing because man is trapped in his sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus said, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The critical nature of evangelism cannot be overemphasized, beloved. The souls of men perish daily for the lack of obedience to the Great Commission and the support of it. In this whole earth, out of all the people in the earth, only God's people can fulfill this mission, and we must. When God's people do not do what Jesus commanded, there are consequences. Make no mistake, precious eternal souls are in the balance and will perish if the body of Christ does not obey Jesus' Great Commission command. Every true Christian must be involved. If you name the name of Christ, you must be involved. Every true Christian will be involved, will be involved. Yes, we'll meditate on that. If you are truly following Christ, then you're going to be involved in one way or the other, or at least one way, with the communication and the propagation of the Word of God. Let me ask you a question, friend. Are you engaged? Are you personally engaged in the Great Commission? Great Commission of teaching God's Word and winning souls and sowing the seed of the gospel. Many are being saved, but this will cease if God's people do not do their part. There are eternal consequences. Souls in hell, that's the consequences. For any hesitation or neglect of literally doing that which Christ commanded when he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. Somebody says, well, I'm not called to do that, or that seems too hard. Why? Why would that be? It's because your life is still your own. It's not in the hands of the Master. You're not given over to him. If you were given over to him, your life would not be your own. You would have given up your life. You would be denying yourself. You would not be your own because you're bought with a price. That would be your disposition. The reason why his commandment of winning lost souls may seem hard for you is because you haven't given your life to him, though you think you have. But you see, true saving faith will always yield good works, always and without exception. Your fruit and your works do not save you, but they prove whether or not you really have a saving relationship with Christ, or whether you don't. I love 2 Corinthians 5:15. Paul wrote, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. Now listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 2:26. In case you don't think works are important, this is the Son of God speaking. In verse 25, he says, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." So enduring to the end includes keeping his works. That would mean obeying his great commission command. Jesus didn't change. Jesus didn't say, "Well, you know, you guys in this late hour in the 21st century live in a technologically advanced era, so let's just have you build a lot of big buildings and romance people by giving them lies and sweet little lies when they come into your church building to be churched." And that's the mission of what's called the emergent church, the secret friendly church, is to get the unchurched churched. That's their mission. It's not to win souls. It's not to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's to go invite people to come join a Christian country club, basically, a social club. And that's unfortunate, but that's apostasy. And that's why we have to talk about this. The Bible tells us that God's word is never changing. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so his command to go teach all men all that he taught us, gave us in his word, that is, and preach the gospel to every creature, is just this moment and will forever, till he comes, be in force, and we're going to be accountable for it, just as though it just rolled off his lips. There's no time barrier or expectation or factor when Jesus speaks, because he's eternal. And throughout this whole New Testament era, we are to be busy about the Father's business. And let me just tell you that if you haven't experienced it, I'm going to tell you that when you obey God and you do his will by reaching others with the gospel, there's going to be an exhilaration of joy in your life that you can't get anywhere else. You cannot get anywhere else than being engaged in the gospel going forth. Aren't you glad, as I am, for the person or the people who labored in obedience to the Lord to see that you heard the gospel, which led to you being saved? Hallelujah. Hireling wolves who have made a profession, a paycheck, out of ministry have crept in unawares and brought another gospel, one that does not include the Great Commission and therefore is in rebellion against the great Savior, period. Entertainment is not the gospel. If we're entertained somewhere along the way by the truth and the joy of the Lord, that's fine, but that's not the gospel. Anybody who's entertaining you without quickening you to repent, if you're not saved, and if you are, to live a life of repentance if need be, and to be about your Father, is false. They're a false leader, and that includes me. Jesus said, "I must be about my Father's business." I believe that's Luke 2:49. Are you, beloved, about your Father's business, or are you about your own business? It can't be both. Jesus said, "If we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things will be added unto us." All these other things. Death looms over all men, the Bible says. Death looms over all men. The impending doom that awaits them is going to be more horrible than words could express. None can escape the eternal wrath of God outside of responding to his call for them to repent, turning to him with all their being. So never, ever cease to use the word repent. You don't have to scream at people to repent, but tell them the word repent. They have to repent. What does that mean? Well, that means simply turning your life all the way to God, being convicted of your sins, turning your life all the way to God, putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ is how it's written in Acts 20:21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Joel 3:14 says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Eternal souls lay in the balance, friend, and I want to encourage you to be about your Father's business in this last hour, that when Jesus returned, that he'd find your hand upon the plow, walking in faith and obedience to him. We're either obeying self or we're obeying Jesus. It can't be both. If we're not about the Great Commission in our lives, we are not obeying the Lord, his command. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." The sin of omission, is that found in our life? Again, Romans 6:16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whoever we're yielded to, that's our master. If we're yielded to Jesus, we are about his business. He said, if you follow me, you will become fishers of men. God bless you, friend, as you seek the Lord and pour out your heart before him and hunger and thirst for more of his presence and his righteousness in your life. God bless you, and please feel free to visit safeguardyoursoul.com.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.